All right, thank you so much for your attention and for all of Brother Brandon's work and all the labor of love that went into everything we saw tonight. I wonder if tonight, if anybody has a blessing before we get into the message, anybody have a blessing or praise you'd like to share with those around? I was noticing, looking around at some of you men, seeing all those kids get awards, and Richard and Jacob and Joe, and I noticed y'all were getting competitive, like you wanted to start memorizing verses and start taking some people down, I thought. But no, I was laughing because I remember those days. I remember standing up here, not here, but in Texas, and singing, "I'm gonna want a cubby." But for some reason, I couldn't say the word cubby, and I said the word dubby. So I was singing the song the whole time when I was 4 and 5, "I'm gonna want a dubby." And my mother had that on tape. So those of you that recorded your children, you can blackmail them for the rest of their life if they said what I said. But I'll never forget, my mom never let me forget that. And, you know, anybody with a blessing tonight? Blessing, yes, sir.
So on Monday, Morgan was heading to a basic job and got her car totaled. But thankfully, all she came away with was just a mild concussion. So wow. Praise the Lord for his provision.
Okay. God's protection. Morgan was in a car accident, and she's doing okay right now. I guess we can continue to keep her in prayer, though. Continue to pray for Morgan. Someone else with a blessing or a praise this evening? Yes, sir.
I have a Christian mother I'm very grateful for, and my father, who was not saved most of his life, finally came to know Jesus as his Savior.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Amen. And to see the young children being worked with so that they can grow up and be men and women who love Jesus and live for him and have their Christian family.
Amen. Thankful for a godly mother and father and other relatives that help him learn the scriptures and grow up in the faith. And, you know, tonight it's a reminder to me of the value of teaching our children while they're young. Because, you know, there's only a short period of time where we really have them. And then they're going to go out in this world. And, you know, when you're 18, it's not so popular to memorize Bible verses, is it? You know, I've often thought when we do this, and, you know, we have a Joshua Club for adult men. And, you know, if you come to the Ladies Patterns Bible Study, the verse you can memorize there. You know, verse learning in the scriptures should not dissipate or disappear when we get older. But what is the habit so often in life? The older we get, we think, well, I knew that when I was a child. And yet some of the most comforting scriptures in the world are things we learned as children. I would just challenge you. You know, this is a time when the summertime comes, and if we're not very careful, we can kind of relax. How many of you are looking forward to the summertime? Anybody? Am I the only one? I have 3 children in the school, and my wife and I were talking about it the other day, and we're like, oh man, summer, next week, we're going to get to relax. Not really, but you know, you just like to think about those situations where now the children aren't in school, and that creates a whole other litany of problems that can happen. But you know, I am thankful, Lord, that they can memorize scripture. Now, you know, one of the most exciting things to me is when they graduate, when you're in this church and you graduate from the Awana program, you go straight into the youth program. And what a blessing Scott and Christina Devane have been. You know, I was laughing. They wanted to be in here to see Philip and Andrew get their awards, but they had teen time. And so they were asking people to tape it, you know. And I can tell him Philip didn't do anything crazy tonight to, you know, make him. I remember I was on a stage one time and I did something that I will not repeat here. But my mother was horrified. And it wasn't terrible. I don't want you to think of that. But, you know, it's great to see these children lining up and standing up straight and behaving. And, you know, that happens when parents and when Awana workers work really hard to get children to be obedient and to obey, because that's what the scriptures teach us. And, you know, it's a good representation, not only on this church, but on the individuals of this church. And so this evening, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Psalms, chapter 5. And we did not do an outline tonight. We weren't sure how much time we were going to have. Last time we did this, I had about 5 minutes to give a outline. And then I realized I'm going to have to give this outline again later. So, but tonight, I would like for you to turn to Psalm chapter 5. We won't take as much time tonight. I know you're in here at 6:40, 6:45. I've joked with you about in Uganda how folks would spend, you know, they'd sit for a couple, 3 hours. But we're not going to try to get you to sit for a couple or 3 hours tonight. We will be out quickly. I know you want to get to your children. But I would like to talk to you tonight, preach tonight about Psalm chapter 5. And, you know, if you notice in David's life, the Bible says here in verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Now, this is a prayer that obviously David had, and we've just sat through 50 minutes of watching children get awards and at a young age make a decision that I'm going to memorize Scripture, I'm going to walk the way the Lord wants me to walk, and I'm going to do some things that we look at and we applauded tonight. You know, I'm convinced that many of these children have learned how to pray while they've been in this Awana program. In David's life, I notice here he was careful, and look in verse 2 and verse 3, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my king and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. In verses 1 through 3, I just have these words written in my Bible as I was going through this. But how important is it this summer to get off to a good start every morning? To get off to a good start every morning. I'd like to look at several things tonight. When you get off to a good start, you're going to see godliness produced in your life in verses 4 through 6. You're going to see grace in the house of God in verse 7. And you're going to see a guidance that's available to all believers in verse 8. You're also going to be reminded that there's great godlessness in this world in verse 9. And in verse 10, we're going to see God's judgment on his enemies, but then the gladness because we have protection through God. And I look at this passage and I look at, here he says, here, hearken to the voice of my cry, my king and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Let me ask you this. This evening, who do you direct your prayer up to in the morning? Too many times when it comes to the summertime, if you're not just really careful, you can let some things slip. And my admonition to you tonight is, and if you have children, this is especially true, your children watch you. Now, my children don't watch me have my devotions in the morning. They don't watch me pray to God. Now, every once in a while, they'll walk into the place where I'm reading, and sometimes, oh, sorry, Dad, I didn't know you were in here. But you know, it's important that we establish, not only at a young age, but the older we get, the more we need to spend time with the God of heaven. And I look here in verse 3, he talks about praying in the morning, and I noticed three things about this. He says to hearken, to give ear. It's a plea to be heard, but then there's a person to whom he prayed, my king and my God. One of my fondest memories, as my wife and I had been missionaries in Uganda for 13 years, is the fact that in the morning, how many of you are early morning people? Pastor asked this the other day. How many of you are early morning people? Just raise your hand. How many of you are not early morning people? All right, wow, that's almost split, like 50-50. In Uganda, I just enjoyed getting up around 5:30, and the sun would rise. We're right on the equator. So the sun, how many of you have noticed the sun rises? Well, how many of you noticed the sun rises? It rises, but it's at a different time here in America because you're, you know, you've got time change, one thing, but then, you know, we're way up, and right on the equator, the sun is pretty, it's pretty consistent when it's rising and when it's lowering. And I can remember thinking, in our house, we didn't have air conditioning, so it would be hot. You always have the windows open, so I could hear birds in the morning. We had a palm tree, and I could look up, and I could see the sun rise. And I can remember thinking, as soon as I'd see the light, have any of you noticed light coming in your bedroom, you know, it's time to get up. Well, there it would rise about 6:15 in the morning. And if you weren't already out of bed, you could look out and you could see. And you know, one of the first things I heard was a Muslim church, a mosque, that would constantly be broadcasting the prayers 5 times a day. What a convicting thing. Now, they would do their prayers about 45 minutes before sunrise. So you would hear their prayers at about 5:30 every morning, like clockwork. And someone was there with a microphone, and any of you have heard these Muslim chants and prayers? You know, they were diligent in getting up in the morning, facing towards Mecca, and there were times I was invited to go to the mosque, and a couple times I was even able to preach the gospel at a mosque because I had soccer balls that had the wordless book. Any of you seen the wordless book? Had a soccer ball with a wordless book on it, and they said, hey, we want you to explain what that's teaching. And I would turn to Surah chapter 4 and say, you know, the Quran talks about Jesus, and then I would give the whole gospel about Jesus Christ. Wasn't exactly what the imam was expecting, but it was what the Lord put in our heart, and we got to give out hundreds and hundreds of soccer balls and have an influence. I was reminded of the prayers of those folks who, in true reality, you know, Allah does not hear their prayers. We have the privilege to pray to a God. Notice in verse 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry. Notice he says the voice. You know, we all have different voices. How many of you can tell your children apart by their voice? Any of you remember when your children were younger and they had almost the same voice? Am I the only one that has children like that? My children would, and I remember I could not tell the difference between Mike and Michaela. I think it's just because I'm deaf or something. My wife could always tell the difference. She could, oh, that's Mike, that's Micah, that's Michaela. I'm thinking, Mike and Michaela, come here. I don't know. I couldn't tell the difference. You know, God listens to the voice of your cry, and he knows the difference between every one of us. What a joy is it to me, what a joy it is to me that I can pray, my wife can pray, and we can go to the God of heaven with the needs that I have, the needs that she has, and he has time to listen to all of our needs. Too many times, I'm afraid, this summer, we can take our needs to other people. We can take our needs to our spouse, which is fine, but they're not God. Notice in verse 2, my King and my God. There's a personal plea here. He says that you will hear it in the morning. Just this summer, would you please be very careful to give God the proper place he should have in our lives? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But too many times we treat him as just another friend or another being. And I remember the first time I met a king in Uganda, and they called him a kabaka. And I'll never forget walking into a place where the whole village was surrounded by spears, and it was a place where they drank blood with their milk. And this was a very far north tribe on the northern Sudan border. Some of you have heard of the Maasai tribe. They were near those. And I remember sitting there and thinking, okay, I'm not in northern Virginia anymore. And I had to go up to this spot, and men had spears, and this is, you know, 2012. They had spears, they had things that could hurt me. And they said, the kabaka wants to see you. And I remember thinking, uh-oh, what did I do? You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to hear the truth of this book. You know, I'm reminded tonight that we have, now that king, we saw several of those men trust Christ as Savior. You know, the problem with him is everything that the king said to do, they would obey. He would look at his people and say, believe in Christ. I believe, you believe. Does that work? No, everybody has to believe from your own heart. But you know, too many times in this life, I'm afraid we don't look at the God of heaven as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whatever you say, I will listen, I will obey. I'd encourage you to get off to a good start every morning. We see David, I don't think David was a grump. If you notice, David in the Old Testament, many times Saul would want to hear him playing his harp. I've never heard a bad harp. I guess I can't say that. But I am certain tonight that all of us would be behooved greatly if we just determined in our heart, I am going to have a good start. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do the simple things in life. The things that we all know we should do, read God's word, we pray. You notice it was a priority of him, of his. It was in the morning. It was something he did daily. I want you to notice what happens when you have that type of start to your morning. You see that godliness is produced in your life. Look at verses 4-6. You start noticing holiness all around you. He says here, David says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. You're immediately reminded that God is not a God. Have you noticed in our society today that the lines are becoming blurred between right and wrong? Have you noticed that? People are putting amendments in front of the Constitution, in front of Congress, to say this is this, this is this, and God has a standard that says there is holiness, and I expect holiness. You know, if you're not careful and you get away from this book too far, your vision is going to be blurred and you're not going to be able to tell what is right and what is wrong. This book is the great demarcator of right and wrong. It's why we have to read it every day. It's why our children, if you just let them memorize verses in the summer and you don't encourage them to walk with the Lord and have some family devotions with them, you know what? The lines are going to become blurred. So just make a point to have the start that it produces godliness in our lives. God's priority is holiness. God desires us to avoid all wickedness. I notice three things here. Notice the pleasure of sin is not appealing. Notice what he says here, not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. God truly hates our sin and separates, and he realizes it separates us from a holy God. I can remember being in Sterling in 1989, and I can remember they were dynamiting for townhomes, and they were trying to dynamite the foundation so they could build townhomes in these new areas. And how many of you know where the seven car washes over here on Sterling? All over in that area, just nothing was built up, and it was all trees. I'll never forget one day. Now, my mom loved me, but I remember it was raining. It had been raining for 2 or 3 days, and my friend and I had a BMX bike. Does anybody remember a BMX bike? I was excited. I was like, man, we were jumping curbs, and it was in the rain. You know, I don't know if it was 1989 or what, but back then, you could leave at 7 in the morning. You didn't have to check in. It was like I came back at 5 o'clock, and my parents were not considered delinquent parents at that time, but we just had a good time. We could go, and we could roam all around, and I'll never forget thinking, I came back one night, and it was raining. I had found a mud hole, and my friend and I had gone, and we had had friends. We had about 15 guys, and we built ramps, and we were hitting those ramps and going off our bikes and hitting the water. And we thought it was the coolest thing. We were covered head to toe in mud, thick mud. How many of you know the thick mud in Northern Virginia? What color is it? Red. Now, my mother loved me. I know she loved me. But when I rang that doorbell, you know, I was smart enough not to just walk in the house. Smart enough not to do that. My mom had white carpet or cream colored carpet. I knew that was instant death. Okay. So I was smart enough to know, you know what? I didn't clear this with mom, and I am covered head to foot in this red clay mud. And you know, it gets in your socks. I don't know. Now I cannot imagine what I was thinking. But back then, we had such a good time all day. I came back about 6 o'clock that night covered. And she looked at me and she said, "What have you been doing?" And to me, I was having the best time. And it was worse when Pastor saw me. When Dad saw me, it was almost like, go to the garage. And I was like, I've never had to go to the garage before. And you know, I had to clean myself off. You know, there are times that we come to God thinking, I know you love me. Can't I be? Now, understand this. That was something that was fairly innocent. But all of us know the sins of this world. And we can get so dirty physically, and it isn't always on the outside. It can be, where does it start? It starts in our mind. And we have to be careful this summer to keep our minds clean. If you keep a clean mind, you can keep a clean life. The Bible says if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. Meaning if you can control, the Bible says the same as a perfect man. Meaning a mature person. So if we can control these evil lusts and these desires, God says, you know, it starts with your tongue. When you can control your tongue from just popping off and saying what you want, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we can control those things, when people look at us, they're not going to see wickedness. They're going to see Christ-likeness. I notice here, he says here, there art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. My mother had no desire to see me covered in red clay mud. In fact, she immediately said, and she said a few things, but one thing she said is, you got to get clean. And you know, tonight, all of us, if we want God to honor us, we have to be clean. And that's a simple thing to say, but all of us know of things in our life that if we're not careful, things just pop up and they come into our lives. It's important that as we spend time with God, we take time every day to clean ourselves according to his liking. We see godliness is produced in our life. We see he has no pleasure in sin. He doesn't like the presence of sin. Notice what he says, it's not endured. It does not stand in thy sight. You see, sin is something that causes us never to be able to stand before the God of heaven. You might be here today and you might say, well, why can't I just earn my way to heaven? Because if we've sinned one time, the Bible says we're as guilty as all, and we cannot stand before God in a holy heaven. It's why Jesus Christ had to die and pay the penalty for our sin. His blood is what washes away our sins. You see, the punishment of sin is sure. Looking down in verse 6, but as for me, I will come. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 6. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. He goes on. Before that, and he talks about, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. He says, thou shalt destroy them. If you notice, thirdly, we see when we have a good start, we'll see the godliness that's produced in our lives. But then notice the place we should run to. Grace, the grace of God is found at the house of God. Look in verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. You know, it's important this evening that we are willing to come to the house of God. You see, when we come to the house of God, we can claim God's mercy. But too many times, we forget the assembling of ourselves together. You know, how come in the summertime, many times church attendance goes like this, down? Now, I'm not saying you don't go on vacation, but when you go on vacation, go find a good church someplace. Aren't you thankful? Pastor always told me this as a child. He goes, Jeremy, do you think God would ever take vacation away from you? You ever think he would take vacation and not answer your prayers? I said, oh, Dad, that'd be terrifying if God didn't listen to my prayers one day. But how many times do we take a vacation and maybe, as so often the case is, sometimes we say, well, you know what? We're sleeping in. You know what? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In verse 7, he says, as for me, I will come into thy house. He'll come into this place in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. You know, we need to have that attitude here, but as for me. That was a common phrase in Uganda. I remember a young boy by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a young man who came out of a very destitute situation. I won't get into all of the things because I think this is on internet if people can listen to this. But he was from a situation that was so wicked, I thought, I don't even know if we can have this boy come into our orphanage. He had seen, and you have to understand, I worked with children who were part of child soldiers. They had been made to kill other children. They were part of Kony's Lord's Resistance Army. So there's a plethora of circumstances. And I really thought this child, I thought, I don't know how a couple of these children are going to make it. I knew God's word was sufficient, but to me, I was pressing the boundaries a little bit when they'd seen so many of the things they'd seen at such an early age. You know, I was amazed at this one young boy, Joseph, who kept coming faithfully to church. He became part of our orphanage and our school. I'll never forget, when he started getting his education, his relatives had invited him back to the village. Now, the village was a place of licentiousness, wickedness, all sorts of terrible things would happen. You know what? He memorized this phrase, and it was, as for me. And that was what he would go around and say, and he would come back to us, and he would say, pasta. As for me, I cannot do this wickedness. And he was a little boy. You know, whenever you hear a young boy, 10, 12 years old, you're thinking, where did he learn to speak like this? Now, it was a little bit of a common vernacular when he came to our orphanage, he memorized so many verses, so much scripture. But you know, he got to a point where he looked at his relatives and said, listen, I cannot be a part of these things. They offered him a place in the government. One of their uncles had a corrupt job. They said, Joseph, now this young man now is in his 20s. I got a report last week that said he is doing amazing, and he still has the attitude of when he goes back to the village, I'm not going to be involved with these corrupt things. He said, and one of the missionaries told me recently, you know, he just stands out. He just stands on his own. You know, this summer, we can be Christians who stand out, who stand on our own. When temptations come, when things happen, we realize, and I just realized now, he is in the capital city of Kampala going to a church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I thought, where does a kid get that kind of character? They said, you know, he left the orphanage and he still kept the same habits. You know, this evening, let's keep godly habits that keep us on the straight and narrow, as we would say. Coming to the house of God, claiming God's mercy, we see, he says here, in thy fear will I worship. Never forget the fear of God this summer. I notice here there's guidance is available to all believers. Look in verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. I see an appeal for guidance. He says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. And notice his awareness, because of mine enemies. I'll never forget the Ugandan warlord I talked about, Joseph Kony. This is in 2003 now. Was in a place where I got stuck on the wrong side of where the battle was. And there was an insurgency going on here, and we went up to deliver food up to a place in northern Uganda. Well, the rebels had moved over here, and we could not get back to our original location. There were only two roads getting back, and we got stuck. I remember being with a sergeant, and he was in the Army, and he looked at me, and he said, Pasta, you're going to be okay. He said, you are with me. And I thought, you know, that's not comforting to me very much. I said, you know, how do I know I'm okay? I said, how am I going to get back? My family was all down, and it was just me with this gentleman. We had delivered a lot of food. He goes, Pasta, it will be okay. We went on so many back roads. Now, it was raining. The roads were washed out. You know what? He knew the way. I'm reminded here in this passage, he says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of thine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. You know, one of the things that was disconcerting to me is I couldn't see the way. This sergeant said, Pasta, trust me. And I said, I'm trying, but that does not look like the safe way to go. It was at night. It was dark. And then finally he looked at me. He goes, Pasta. And he did this with his tongue. He goes, are you going to trust me? And I looked at him and I said, fine, I trust you. You know what God wants us to do this summer? Is to simply trust him. But we won't trust him unless we know the way that we're supposed to go according to the scriptures. We're not going to know the way we should go unless we're faithful to church. He says here, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. And notice what he says, because of mine enemies. You don't have to say this, but how many of you have an enemy? All of us have enemies. Sometimes the enemy is ourself. All of us have to battle the enemies of life this summer. And I would encourage you to just gird yourself up to say, God, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I notice in verse 9, we see the godlessness of others. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Notice all the bad things about people around us. The enemies of life are going to be there. They're not going to quit. They're not going to go away. But we have to be strong and rise above it. Look in verse 10. We see God's judgment. And just be reminded, you might have a friend at work. You might have someone around you that you say, you know what? They don't seem to ever get punished for anything. Anybody have anybody like that? You say, these people get away with things all the time. Notice the end. Verse 10, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. You see, the way someone gets ahead in this life, when they're doing worldly devices, are often the things that are going to bring them down. He says, cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against who? Rebelled against thee. And we have to remember, all the times when people are getting ahead and they're doing things that are not right, they can never get ahead of God. They have rebelled against thee. Notice, he says here, I see God's judgment on his enemies. I see the result of their wickedness is a prayer of destroy thou them. But then the reason for their judgment is by their own counsels. And look, notice their reaction. They have rebelled. But I notice in verses 11 and 12, when we'll be done, but let all those that put their trust in thee. What's the next verse, the next word? Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, one of the things I've appreciated about my dad growing up is oftentimes, as a young person, I saw him walk with the Lord. Mandy and I will see him at night sometimes walking throughout the yard, and he's just talking. He's happy. He's just talking to the Lord. And every once in a while, we'll have our windows open, and he talks loud, too. I don't know, any of you know, like, people that just talk loud? And sometimes I'll hear him, Lord, been so good. And then it fades out. I can't hear. I'm always like, is he thanking God for me? Jeremy? You know, I'm thinking. He walks around the yard, and at night, it's a little disconcerting because he has a flashlight. And he's shining it everywhere. Lord, I want to thank you. And I'm getting blinded in my eyes, you know. But I'm often reminded, you know, pastor knows how to rejoice. You know, tonight, when we're walking with God every morning and we have the right kind of prayer life, we want to stay away from wickedness. Notice in verse 11, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. He doesn't say, see the results of putting your trust in thee. No, he says, once you put your trust in you, rejoice. I've often given the illustration of my son putting his trust in me. Micah was not the most trusting son I've had. Micah sits there, and I would ask him to jump to me, and he would just kind of, he wanted to touch my hand. And I was like, no. And I would back up, and he would go, just kind of lean. Malachi, just the opposite, man. Michaela was worse. Michaela had to be like holding me. She did not want to jump ever. Never forget Malachi, the first time he was on the front of my truck. He was standing right there. And I said, Malachi, you trust me? And he says, and he didn't even say a word. He just jumped. Well, then he saw Ugandans laughing. And they're like, oh, pasta, he trusts you. Pasta, he trusts you. And Malachi decided to run up the windshield and get on top of the car. And he backs up like this. And I'm getting worried at that point. I'm like, because he could fall off the other side. And then I'm like, oh, he'll never trust me again. You know, I'm an earthly father. I can't always protect. He got all the way up on that truck. And he looked around. And he looked down. And it was a good, 5.5-foot drop. And some of you, please don't report me. Okay, I'm not trying to be a delinquent parent. But I wanted to see, did he trust me? He did. He got up there and he ran, just jumped. And he got so confident, he was turning like this, jumping. It was like showing off. I trust Dad. Dad's never going to drop me. You know, tonight, our God in heaven's never going to drop you. I don't know what situation you're going through, what disturbing things been in your mind. But you know this, I know this. Trust God. He says here, but let all those that put their trust in thee, he says, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. You know, the greatest defender we can have in life is the God of heaven. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. It should change our countenance. It should change the way we live. It should change the way we walk tomorrow at work. It's we have a joyful countenance. We have a joy of the Lord. Verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you righteous? Are we righteous before the God of heaven? Is there anything tonight that you look at and go, you know what? I need to confess that. I need to forsake this. With favor, and this is one of my favorite parts of this passage. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You know what I want for my life? And I pray this every morning for my family. God, would you put the favor of God around my family? You know, God, you see all the times God blessed people in spite of the ignorant mistakes they made. That's the kind of blessing that you can pray for here. Thou wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Let me ask you tonight, are you one of those Christians who daily walks with the Lord and says, look, follow me as I follow Christ? We see gladness because of his protection, because of the believer's faith, trust in thee, because of the Lord's faithfulness, thou defendest him, because of the Lord's favor, thou compass him. You know, the safest place to be is when God is protecting us. You know, there's a lot of fake things in this world that you can get to protect you. I mentioned Joseph Kony earlier. You know what he taught the children, some of the children in our orphanage? He taught them this. He abducted 66,000 children and made them to be child soldiers. He told them that if they took oil and they made it in the shape of a cross on their chest, it would ward off any bullets that were shot towards them. You know, thousands of children died because that was no protection. You know, he duped many people. You know, today, Satan is duping many people to fall into all sorts of sin and despicable things. Tonight, would we just delight in the Lord and get off to the start that God would have us to get off to, that we would have godliness produced in our life, that we would have grace in the house of God? Tonight, let us, as we go to the Lord in prayer later, I trust that we would confess anything that would be holding us back from serving God fully. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. And Lord, as we go to a quick invitation here tonight, there might be someone here that doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage to come and just come down and we will take a Bible and show them how to go to heaven. Lord, some of us might just say, God, I want to trust you. Lord, there might be some folks here tonight that are going through difficult circumstances and we are not trusting you the way we should. Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts that trust you in all manner of circumstances tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you'd want to come and pray, you may do that. As others are coming, if you would like to come, you come. What's your priority in the morning? Is it the prayer of God? He says, guidance is available to all those who believe. Who do we turn to in difficult times to lead us? Are we glad tonight because of his protection? Are we trusting in him? He says, I will defend them and I will compass them about. I would encourage you to take your prayer sheet and pray for those requests that you see on in the inside of that fly leaf. Let us go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Thank you for coming.